Do you love hiking or camping? Whether it's a short walk through the woods or an overnight stay along the trail, Kel-Tec has the protection you need. For two decades, the folds-in-half Kel-Tec Sub-2000 carbine has been filling the pistol-caliber carbine gap with options for several popular magazines, including Glock, Smith & Wesson, and Sig Sauer. The Kel-Tec Sub-2000 is much easier and less to take along. Sights are intuitive, the stock is adjustable, and field stripping is a breeze. Plus, the Sub-2000 can easily be disassembled for cleaning or inspection without extra tools to carry in your pack. From now until March 2024, Kel-Tec is offering a $100 rebate program on any newly purchased Sub-2000 from a licensed dealer. Buy a Kel-Tec Sub-2000, get $100. So if you've been waiting for the right time to buy an American original, consider this your invitation and visit KelTecWeapons.com today. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about the Sub-2000 and $100 rebate program. KelTecWeapons.com.
Last night, the House did something none of you sitting here thought we can do. The number of questions I could take in the number of weeks about doing appropriation bills. I told you, don't give up on us, because we're not giving up on the American people. We passed three appropriation bills: defense, state, and foreign ops, and homeland security. My biggest question is, I don't understand why the Democrats voted against funding the government. In all, we have four appropriation bills done. There's 12 overall to get done. It's the discretionary spending every year that government is supposed to do. We have now in the House passed more than 70% of the discretionary spending on appropriations. Need I remind you, how much has the Senate passed? Zero. Not one appropriation bill has passed the Senate. We've done what many have said was impossible. When I became Speaker, I said we're going to change Washington. And we did that by keeping our commitment to restoring regular order.
So that is Kevin McCarthy, who is, you know, we're going back and forth with this stuff with the House, this budget battle, because that's Saturday night anyway, midnight is when it's supposed to, everything's supposed to go to hell. So actually, or not, we'll kind of see with that. It could not be, because, you know, I kind of feel like if you can't agree to a funding package where you're not putting billions of dollars into Ukraine, then that's, you know, then we don't need to be passing it. Welcome to the radio program. Dana Lash here with you. We're having a lot of technical difficulties with the simulcast right now, so you are not going to get a simulcast until we get those remedied. But welcome to the radio program. Dana Lash here with you. You can still stream the show as well. We're a small crew, so we're trying to get it up for you, but we're limited in what we can do, but we're trying. So I want to focus on this stuff with the House first and foremost, because, and we're going to get in the Feinstein stuff, because I know there's a lot of speculation about that. But as I said, Dana Lash here with you, top of this first hour on Friday. You saw this too. I saw a number of lawmakers tweet this out, and I've gotten, I don't know how many press releases on this too, that the stupid continuing resolution, there is this insistence to keep this Ukraine, and it's not just Ukraine funding in there. I want to note, it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more, there's a lot more stuff in it than that, than just the Ukraine stuff, because it's, you always have these packages, they're last minute. Lawmakers know they have to get passed. And so as a result, they tack the stuff, this nonsense on there. It's always wasteful spending. And you always find out about it after the fact, do you not? You always find out about it after the fact. And then you realize, oh my gosh, why the hell did I pay, you know, $5 million for DEA agents' cars? Or why are we giving $12 million to fisheries? Or why are we doing this? Or why are we doing that? Why is all, you know, there's all these questions that pop up. We're just, this is borrowed money. Did we not understand how this works? It's borrowed money. So this is it's a major issue. So the insistence on conservatives not wanting to just willy-nilly, you know, kick this through you know, kudos to them because they're taking a lot of heat for it. And Democrats are doing everything possible to make sure that the public, well, you got to put the blame where it belongs. We're going to talk more about this and look at some of the stuff that's been proposed here coming up, too. It's a mess. It's a mess. Now, Dianne Feinstein, 90 years old, has passed away. And this is how do I want to put this? There's a huge speculation game going on as to how her seat is going to be filled. So have you heard the speculation? Have you heard all the different plans, Kane? So one of them is what? Kamala is going to step down. Gavin Newsom is going to, it's going to be musical chairs. Gavin Newsom is going to take over. And then after that, it's going to be, Kamala Harris will be in the Senate, and then Gavin Newsom is going to be vice president. And then Commander is going to maul Joe Biden. And then Gavin Newsom is going to take over. I mean, I'm like kind of being facetious, but that's kind of how they've, I've heard Newsom's name. I don't think that that's exactly how it's going to go. I don't really think that that's how it's going to go. Now, she, 90 years old, the oldest member in the Senate, and passed away last night, age 90. She's had a long life. Now, I don't care what your politics are. Unless, I don't care really what your politics are, unless you're like, you know, Pol Pot or something, which she was not. You know, you can disagree with her, and I think she did a lot of wrong things, but, you know, it's sad for their family. Although she's 90 years old. I mean, she lived a long, full life. But here's kind of the question that I think is completely fair to ask. How old is too old to be serving in the Senate or the House? I think it's completely fair to ask that. It is not disrespectful at all. And the reason I ask this is because now she kind of, you know, this is sort of like a Ruth Bader Ginsburg move, right? You kind of, Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not want to leave her seat. Dianne Feinstein did not want to leave her seat. She was pushing off these overtures to replace her for, I don't know, like what, at least a couple of years. And particularly so in the last several months. Because didn't she vote like right before? I'm pretty sure she voted right before.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday. But like, I mean, like literally hours.
Yeah.
All right. So now you got a bunch of Democrats. You've got Katie Porter. You've got Barbara Lee. You've got Adam Schiff. I think of those three, Adam Schiff is probably the lead, but then somebody's got to fill his House seat. There's also maybe Newsom. He has to appoint a temporary replacement because, see, Democrats, it was only a 51-49 majority with her. And 51-49 because you had Joe Manchin and then, you know, the independents. Those individuals caucused with them. So when, I don't know, like, I think that Adam Schiff is the best of those three that I mentioned with Katie Porter and Barbara Lee to take the spot. And I say best meaning that, you know, he's already in the House, et cetera, et cetera. He's been there for a while. There's, you know, however, do you remember when Kamala Harris back in 2001, Gavin Newsom had promised, didn't he promise to, he was going to appoint a black representative in that spot, and then it didn't happen. And then as a result, black voters were very mad, not just at Newsom, but at Democrats. And so now there's this expectation that it's going to be Barbara Lee. Nobody doesn't like Barbara Lee. I'm sorry. It's Friday. I just thought of it. It just popped in my head. I can't help it. Roll with it. So there's, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's actually going to, would it be Barbara Lee? Because she's, I don't know. You guys, it wasn't Barbara Lee the chick that went to Cuba, like way back when? Hold up. Maybe it wasn't her. There was one Democrat. Yeah, no, I was right. Yeah, she did try. She visited a lot. And I don't know if it's going to be her or not, but I feel like that Newsom has a lot of, because she had praised Fidel Castro. I just don't know how you're praising Fidel Castro. She had met with him. I don't know. They met with Raul Castro, but she praised Fidel Castro before while she was bashing, you know, the previous president. Okay, that makes, you know, no sense at all whatsoever, whatever. So I don't know, but I feel like if Newsom doesn't do that, he's going to get a lot more criticism. And there's a rising unpopularity with him in his own state that I just don't think that he can. I just don't really think that he can run the risk of ticking any more people off. So you may very well see a Barbara Lee. But Dianne Feinstein, how old is too old? I mean, I think it's fair to ask, right? I don't believe in term limits. And here's why I don't believe in term limits. Because I agree with the founders in that I don't believe in term limits. And when I say I agree with the founders, I mean, I agree with the Federalist Papers in which the founders were arguing against, including Madison and Hamilton and everyone else. And they were arguing against term limits because that's the responsibility of the people. Term limits are ceding the power of the voter to the government. And everyone always applies term limits to just the bad ones. Yeah, there are bad ones, but there are a lot of good ones out there as well. And when you implement term limits, I think you're just empowering all the special interests that are out there. And that is true. I mean, you are empowering special interests because those are the people who write a lot of the legislation anyway, and you're just giving them even more power to do so. I just think that term limits is a lazy way. It's a lazy abdication of duty by the voter. And we absolutely, the voters have the power to do this. That's why I just, you got to get out and do it. You got to get out and electioneer. I just can't imagine. A lot of the people talking about term limits, I guarantee you, have never spent more than 1 hour phone banking or going door to door canvassing or working on behalf of an issuer or candidate. And I'm not trying to say that to shame people, but I am trying to say that as a way to illustrate you give up your power of determining who can go into elected office because you can't get out and do a little, you know, civic duty. It just floors me. I absolutely, almost violently reject term limits. I mean, I would riot if we passed term limits. I would actually go and throw crap in the street and I would raise all hell because that is a big government statist position. It is. Term limits are what statists argue for. Don't get persuaded by statists. This is your responsibility. And like I said, I agree with the founders. If people don't, I'm sorry, but I agree with the founders on term limits. So This is just one of these instances here. How old is too old? I mean, because people liked her, they kept voting for her. You know, they were voting for her somehow. Oh, so the president already spoke about it. We're gonna talk about some of that. Some of the other things that we're gonna get to coming up. Elon Musk was at the border. AOC was mad about it. She was mad because there were some Republicans that were taking him around the border. And she's like, can you believe that they left? And, you know, this one lawmaker's joyriding. She's never been to the border except to cry outside of a parking lot. So we're going to get into all of that and more.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Every crisis is an opportunity for government to take our freedoms away. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Securities and Exchange Commission has created a database to track every single stock transaction in your portfolio, whether it be 9/11, the Patriot Act. When is this going to end? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is interesting. New York is sinking. NASA has revealed hotspots that are dipping more than twice as fast as the entire metropolitan region. They include LaGuardia. They've dropped 0.15 inches annually. And they said that it's sinking under the weight of skyscrapers. Okay, so, but every horror movie that I've ever seen, it's built on a network of tunnels that go down into a pit where a monster lives. So how does that work? How does it sink? Wouldn't it just fall through? It's like very Venice-y. I just got to say, it's very, very Venice-like. Let's see. Is a crash incoming? Entire U.S. Treasury yield curve moves toward or above 5%, raising the risk that something's going to break. All the things are going to break. I don't like this either. I don't like any of this. You know, I'm just, All right, so we'll come back to more economic stuff. This is kind of interesting. A very unique George Washington letter written in 1777, in which he says God in heaven in the American Independence emerges for sale for the first time. It's been valued at $275,000 by a collection auction house in Philadelphia. And it's the only Washington letter from the Revolutionary War mentioning heaven. Now, it's a Daily Mail piece, which means that their headlines are barely literate and the lead's buried and they end their sentences in preposition because, God help them, none of them ever went to J school and learned how to write a balanced sentence or spell. But ultimately, it means that he says that God in heaven supported the American independence in this letter. And it's the only letter during the Revolutionary War in which he's mentioned heaven and mentioned in this regard. But it was written in October of 1777, right after he heard about the first victory over the British during the Revolutionary War. So that went on sale. It looks so it's going to fetch, you know, if you got a nice, you know, six figures, 270 something laying around, 270,000 laying around, it can be yours. What would you do with it, though? I mean, you'd have to put it in a special case because it's this like old timey parchment and, you know, all of this stuff. So cannabis overuse is linked to heart failure and heart attacks, according to a study from Forbes. People say that weed usage really skyrocketing, though? Is it?
It's been legalized in a lot of states recently, so I imagine, yeah.
You know, because I know, like, a ton of conservatives and libertarians, and it's weird because you would always think the libertarians are the potheads. They're not, though. Like, I don't know any libertarians that actually, I don't know. But so when they say overuse cannabis, are they talking about the fancy stuff that you get in, like, those California shops where they have it by different types? Is that what, so they say that adults who overuse, I didn't know you could do it, cannabis, 60% are more likely to experience heart failure, strokes, and heart attacks compared to adults of the same age and gender without what they call cannabis use disorder, which is a stupid phrase. Stop making something a product for Big Pharma. Can we please? Not everything is a syndrome. Not everything is a disorder. Stop it. It's led by a team of researchers in Canada. And they said it was a report published Thursday by Addiction. 30,000 participants. So they actually did, you know, look at a pretty significant portion of them. And apparently cannabis use disorder impacts around 27 to 34% who use it. What is that? Use disorder? Just because they overuse it? That's so dumb. All right. We got a lot more on the way. Dianne Feinstein's replacement magical chairs or musical chairs. We got to talk about that as well. Stick with us. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, gee, I'm sorry, but like the idea that America is going to compete and win in the 21st century by clinging to 20th century technology, that's a recipe for those jobs to disappear. And I know exactly what that can do because I grew up in the industrial Midwest, surrounded by the literal carcasses of the factories of companies that couldn't innovate fast enough. Sometimes when I'm hearing this dialogue and this debate last week when I was testifying in Congress, hearing a lot about EVs, I feel like it's 2005 and I'm meeting people from the Rotary Phone Society.
The Rotary Phone Society? Yeah, I didn't even know that there was a society for that. There you go. Welcome back to the program. That's Secretary Mayor Newmom, Poot, Booty Juice. Don't, that's his name. Are you making fun of him? What? He's the new mom. What's the matter? You're so hateful. So mean. There's so much meanness in this world. So glad it's Friday. All right. But sidebar, did you get me, you did get my turn down for what, right? Did we get that?
Steve's going to have to play that.
Yes. No. Just drop it in the thing, right? Can't you just drop it in the thing? Sidebar, I asked for something like in the middle of the night last night. That sounded nuts, I'm sure, to you guys at the time, but I promise it'll make sense later. I just wanted to make sure you had that. All right, so Secretary Mayor Newmom, Booty Juice, if you oppose the EV push, that means you're an old person who uses the rotary phone. You know, forget your completely legitimate concerns. You're an old person who uses a rotary phone. I mean, forget about the fact that you might be concerned about how China may be further empowered. You're just an old fogey who uses a rotary phone. I mean, can we not do this stuff? It's a rotary phone. I feel like I'm like talking to Howdy Doody. How about that? I feel like I'm talking, to failure to launch here. That's who I'm feel like I'm talking to. Good night. All right. So Elon Musk got himself a Stetson and went down to the border. Brought up a lot of attention down to the border. He went down to Eagle Pass. Audio sung by 12. He was down in Eagle Pass to see what was going on. I think he was pretty shocked. Listen to this.
Yeah, so here we are at Eagle Pass, and we're going to be meeting with the sort of major officials and law enforcement responsible for the border, and just hear it directly from them and see exactly what's going on for yourself. So with that, let's.
Yes, I'm Tony Gonzalez. I'm the local congressman here in the district. My district is 823 miles of the southern border, places like Eagle Pass, El Paso, Uvalde, Del Rio. We've been at the epicenter of this border crisis. What I'd really like to share is a lot of my sheriffs and local elected officials are being forgotten. Their stories aren't getting out.
That's true. So down at the border, there were tons of people crossing the border today. I think what they had, it's up something like 60%. Isn't it like 6,000 people, over 6,000 people that have been crossing per day? Oh, yeah. The September border numbers are just going to be so explosively high. They're expected to set an all-time record. So it's going up to 10,000 plus encounters a day. Guys, that's insane. That is absolutely insane. So no, I hope the whole damn government shuts down. You know, if the government shuts down, you know what we should do? So do you remember how during the Biden administration, or sorry, the Obama Biden administration, they put down all those things to prevent people from enjoying the outdoors? They put up the barriers in front of the trees and the parks and the playgrounds, because the government shut down. That means you can't access the things that you already paid for with your tax dollars. I will set a damn barrier on fire. And then we'll go Waco style if you try to apprehend me. How about that? Not even playing. So, hi CIA, I hate you. It's Friday. What we should do is, if the government shuts down, we should reinstall all of the fencing that Biden's border dudes, his federal agents have cut, and then put the barriers in front of the wires, because you can't send your federal agents down there to cut that, because it's a government shutdown. Put the barriers in front of all the wires and all that stuff. You can't, because it's shut down. You guys can't get down here. It's shut down. Can't that make sense, right?
Totally makes sense.
Because the government's shut down.
That's right.
Government's closed. So just put those barriers. You guys can't go near the border. Federal Joe Biden's people can't go near the border. It's closed. That makes perfect sense to me, I think.
Yep.
I think that's what we need to do. I hope we do that. I mean, that makes sense. That's what they did. You guys all remember that. That's exactly what they did during the Obama administration. They were all, guys, the forests are closed. They put it up in front of Yosemite.
Trees are off limits.
Trees are off limits. They had a roadside, the little roadside stops?
Right.
They put up barriers there. It was so ridiculous.
Where was that tree equity then?
Oh. That was fire. Straight fire, as the kids say. All right, so the response that AOC had, I'm pulling this up because I just closed it like a genius. The response that AOC had to this, she was livid that Elon Musk was down at the border and was there with some, you know, Republicans in Eagle Pass, and said that it's, you know, it's unfortunate that he's there joyriding, I think is how she put it. And joyriding instead of, she said these Republicans should be in Congress and they should be there voting to avoid a government shutdown. And that it was just, I mean, they've had this like this war of words now going on for quite some time. Musk said that she wasn't that smart, which is true. I don't think that she is. And she's, he's been warning of some, quote, pretty extreme migrants is what he said. Illegal immigrants coming in. He said that there were people that had the teardrop tats. And isn't like one teardrop? I mean, I need to understand the gang math here. So one teardrop means you've murked one person. And then, so one teardrop is you murked one person. Two teardrops is you murked two people. I mean, at some point, like if you're like a mass murderer, do you just put like a thunderstorm on your face? Like, how does that work? Do you just like, how does, you have like the tally marks? So she accused Musk of taking the joyride to the border. She said that what's the House is holding important votes in D.C. and people are scrambling to avoid a shutdown. And then she was going after Gonzalez. She said this Republican congressman decided to skip town to joyride with a billionaire when his own party has just single digit margin and needs his vote. No, you're presupposing that they want the government to keep funding this keep funding the nonsense in Ukraine and not do anything at the border. So, and even if this thing were to pass the way Democrats wanted to, there's not going to be any relief at the border. That's just the way it is. There's not going to be any relief at all whatsoever at the border. I love it that he's down there. I love that Musk is down there. Look at this. Because this is, it is so bad. People don't realize how bad this is. I read this one account. There was one individual, a family, and they're, you know, they're American citizens. They immigrated from Mexico. American citizens. It's a younger family. And the oldest son, who's like in his younger, he's like in his low 20s, younger 20s, early 20s, sorry. He was saying that when his mom, I think, was like leaving work or doing something one evening, and she was in her car and a bunch of illegal immigrants who had crossed over were trying to break into the car with her in there. And there's almost nothing you can do because the resources are so stretched thin. It's not, you can't really call law enforcement because law enforcement is, you know, helping with Border Patrol, and it's that bad. And people are terrified. It's you know what it's almost like? It's almost like, you know, in some of those old horror movies, people are like, you don't go outside at night because you don't know what's out there, right? This is kind of what it's like there. Because that's when, from what I understand, some of the biggest, particularly a lot of the human trafficking and a lot of the drug stuff takes place at night. You know, obviously, A, it's easier under cover of darkness. But also, secondly, you know, they'll distract and then they'll use the cover of darkness to get a shipment of something else across. So, it's horrific. I feel so bad for these people that are having to deal with this. And I'm glad that Musk is going down there. This makes Democrats angry because, and they hate him even more now because they're trying to get the attention away from the border during the shutdown. They don't want Americans focused on the fact that the number one reason why Republicans are opposing the Democrat insistence that they just pass the CR as is because it barely includes hardly anything for the border. Hardly anything. Do you know that the promise to send, we'll send some troops down to the border from the federal government, from the administration, that's to help with paperwork and not really enforcement. I don't know if you guys knew that, but that's what one CPB told me. Yeah, it's not, they're not doing enforcement. That's to help, that's paperwork stuff. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's what it is. So, you know, this opposition and Musk going down there, it just brings further attention to that. And that's enraging the left. They're, so, they're enraged over this because it's messing up their whole, it's messing up their plotting. It's messing up their scheming. It's harder for them to sit here and act like, oh, Republicans just don't want to pass this, et cetera. You know, they just don't want to pass this stuff because they don't want it. You know, they don't want to have our troops promoted or military. They don't want to have military leaders. They don't want to have any of this stuff. So I like that he's down there. And it's given a lot of attention to it. So we'll see, because Saturday night, 12, actually technically early Sunday morning, 12:01 midnight is when everything's hitting the fan. But that's when it's all expected to go down. So we'll see. We'll see how that works. I want it to shut down. I really hope it does shut down. And then I hope the state's like, okay, well, you know, we're just going to close all this stuff. You can't come down here because the government's closed. So now, oh, by the way, I saw this headline too, real quick. You know how you've been hearing the border is so dangerous? So there's apparently a whole bunch of photos that the New York Post has of people who cross illegally and then they take a bunch of selfies as they're crossing and going there. Yeah. Refugees. Yeah. Selfies. Okay. All right. Now, I don't know if you saw this at the hearing yesterday. I think it's hysterical. I hope she keeps doing it. Democrats are mad at Marjorie Taylor Greene again. They're saying that she's showing Hunter Biden porn. Again. They said that she held up a sign that included shots of a woman from behind. And she said that my Democrat colleagues pretend to care about women's rights. Showing those. This is all from the stuff that's, it's all from the laptop stuff. They're so mad. They told her, don't include pornographic images. It's just the president's son. Listen.
But let's talk about,
Chairman, there's a parliamentary challenge before us.
Point of order. Who's the point? And we'll stop the clock for you, Ms. Green.
Mr. Chairman, our colleague from Georgia has introduced before pornographic exhibits and displayed things that are really not suitable for children who might be watching. And
bathing suit's not suitable, Mr. Rafkin.
I'm saying I would like the member to be instructed to not introduce any pornography today, at least without running into the chair.
A bathing suit is not pornography.
Well, we can't see it from down there, so you didn't make it available to the minority before you started.
It's on the internet. It's everywhere.
You are submitting a naked woman's body.
This is a bathing suit. This is a bathing suit,
and it has not been clear before this committee.
Glasses on. Do you wear them or not?
Oh, my gosh, that's hysterical. She's in a bathing suit. I just love how she throws it out there. I know people give her grief. No, I like her. I like how she throws it out there. She cracks me up. She's you have the committee like, well, here's how we're going to do today. Like hell. That's basically how she approaches it. She just holds it up. Because then remember, they got mad when she had her big giant, would she go to like Kinko's or something? Right. Get that printed out, which is, by the way, it's like the appropriate place that you would print out Hunter Biden stuff, Kinko's. And she had the big old poster board. I don't think they were going to let her do it again this time. So she had smaller poster board and she had it affixed to it. And she's just holding it up every time. I mean, it cracks me up. The faces of the Democrat lawmakers when they realized the looks of horror and then rage when they realized what she was doing. So all she had to do was be like, you know, oh, no, this is not Hunter. This is that gender queer book y'all like. It's that gender queer book. The gender queer. That's what it is. See, it's right here. It's same thing. Same positions and everything. That's what she should have said. And then just seeing what the reactions would have been. I could watch that all day long. All right, we got a lot more on the way. We got today Days in these United States coming up. The latest still with a shutdown. We're following that for you. Law and order. Wait until you hear the percentages of restaurants in San Francisco that haven't been vandalized, if there is a percentage. Folks, Constitution Day has come and gone, but there's still time to receive your free copy of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence from my friends at Hillsdale College. So what are you waiting for? Grab your free copy at dana4hillsdale.com today. Hillsdale's goal is to give away 1 million copies to Americans who don't have one. And if you already have a copy, why not get one for someone you know doesn't have a copy? Every American, young and old, should read these documents because liberty depends on we the people knowing the basic principles of free government. And given the state of our nation, it's more critical than ever for citizens to read and understand these founding documents. So to claim your own free copy or to give one away, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. The form is simple and you'll receive your booklet by mail without paying shipping. The offer expires in just a few days, so reserve your copy at Dana4Hillsdale.com today. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Colonel Mark Milley, combat infantryman, a master parachutist, a Green Beret.
Did he just call someone a combat Ingalls Shuman?
Yes.
Combat is like an amazing, that's like the next Godzilla movie. Instead of like Godzilla v. Mothra or Godzilla v., you know, Mecha, whatever, it's Godzilla v. Kongbat. Golly, can you imagine? It's like King Kong, but with wings. Right. That's not what a bat sounds like, but you know what I mean. I don't know. Coming up, Donald Trump teaches us about whales. We're going to, yeah, it's a super informative lesson. And did you know that this is what an orca sounds like? Did you know that? Here, this, you gotta. You should always have this ready to go. Is it ready to go now? I'm just gonna keep playing it. I'm just gonna keep. It's a, did you know that's an orca? You know that's an orca?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So is it up now? Okay, perfect. That's what an orca sounds like. Totally not at all what I thought it would sound like. So we're gonna have some conversations. It's funny. Also, immigration shut down. Culture. Blah. Stick with us.
I've made the defense and protection and preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presidency. From the speech I made at Gettysburg in the inaugural address to the anniversary of June 6th insurrection, January 6th insurrection.
What? What? What did Joe Biden say?
Direction.
What? He said that D-Day was the anniversary of the January 6th erection. That's a...
Direction.
I don't think that's how... biology or history works. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you. All right, so first and foremost here. The, wow. That's, no, he needs to not talk anymore. Right. Let's just have him not say anything. Or like this one, audio soundbite 14. I could have gone my whole life. My whole life, Kane. Go ahead.
I'm going to put a little more meat on that bone than that last one.
What? Why was he making this expression? Now, for those of you not watching the simulcast, because you can listen to the radio show coast to coast, you can stream it, but then there's also a simulcast. There's a visual component that is available to you through YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. So for those folks, Kane... why was he making the face where he's like, why was he doing that?
Well, he was talking about meat.
Like gumming it?
Yeah. Juan's going to play it again without audio just so people can see it. This okay. It's crazy.
It's like, that's going to be a meme. I just don't, I just don't know why he's, who does that? Norman. That's not slow mode. Juan does not have that like in slow motion or anything. How do you move that slow anyway, normally? I can't. Can you try to move that slow normally, like by yourself without the aid of? I mean, he does. I just don't even know how to do that. That's terrifying. Why? Get him off the stage. Just don't have him up there anymore. Good night. Just stop. I will say he at least didn't mess up his remarks about Dianne Feinstein. Audio sound by 22, because she passed away last night. It's not going to affect her voting, but she passed away last night. And when I heard that the president said, you know, gave some remarks about the passing of Senator Feinstein, my first thought was, oh, man, what? Because it was fresh off the January 6th erection. And, he got through it. Listen.
Before I begin, I want to say a brief word about Senator Dianne Feinstein, who passed away this morning. She was a historic figure, trailblazer for women, and a great friend. Dianne made her mark on everything from national security to the environment,
gun safety
to protecting civil liberties.
Say it like that.
The country's going to miss her dearly, and so will Jill and I. I'll have more to say about her later today.
Like I said, it's not going to affect her vote. So we'll have. Now, I'm trying to pull something up here for you, but I have things that are not being responsive. The musical chairs replacement for her is going to be interesting because I don't know who. It's going to be Newsom. Newsom's going to be responsible for doing it. So I'm not quite sure who is going to be the person that replaces her. Although Barbara Lee, we were talking a little bit about this last hour. Barbara Lee might be it because remember, he got a lot of, by he, I mean Newsom, he got a lot of grief because he, I guess, had promised to replace Kamala Harris's Senate seat. He had promised to put a black woman in that seat and then he didn't. And then there was a lot of consternation. So I don't know. Now, you know, we'll see. But she's got her own baggage, but I don't think that matters out in California. I don't think that it matters. So I don't know. But still, it's not going to. Dianne, can you imagine? Think about this for a minute. Do you honestly think somebody wanted to spend the last days of their life being ferried around in a wheelchair, told how to vote? Because we had that. Remember how she was sort of told how to vote? Being, you know, told how to vote. That does not sound like the best ways to spend your last days on earth, does it? I mean, wouldn't you want to be with your family? Wouldn't you want to be with your kids, your grandkids? I don't know. It just seems, it's like elder abuse. You know, it's like when Democrats have the choice, you know, of calling hospice, they end up putting someone in office. I don't understand that. All right. So Karine Jean-Pierre just moments ago was asked about the impending shutdown. I'm surprised she didn't say the MAGA Republicans. This is what she had to say about this. Listen.
As you all know, extreme House Republicans are solely to blame for marching us toward a shutdown. That is what we're seeing right now.
Solely? What is that about, solely? It's solely marching us towards a shutdown. Well, as we all know, that's just simply not true. We've talked about the poison pills that they put in there before, but no, it's not true. Not true at all. I do hope that it happens. The plan, though, I think that Republicans, and I think they've done a pretty decent job of, you know, going out and explaining why it is that they hold the position that they are, but they also need to be messaging about what plan that they have. Because when we did this back, when was this? During the Obama administration, one of the reasons that the Republicans did not suffer the consequences of this, because it was very similar to what's happening now, is also because they had a plan and they messaged the plan. They explain, this is what's going to happen. This is why we oppose it. And this is what is also going to happen. I mean, everyone always thinks that this is like some kind of, you know, any type of shutdown is an immediate loss, and it's not. But they do seem a little disjointed, and they need to also have more of a plan other than, well, we don't like Kevin McCarthy. Okay, well, you need a little bit more than that. Like, people want to know what they're going to be getting out of this for sticking with this strategy. And I do think that they need to say, you know, it's a pity that these, you know what Republicans ought to be doing? Republicans ought to be holding press conferences. They ought to go to the border and they ought to hold press conferences with families that, like, Gonzalez should follow up the Musk visit with a press conference with families that are having to deal with crime and cartels on their property or in their communities. Now, like the family that I was telling you about just last hour, where it was a early 20-something citizen who was explaining how, you know, there, and again, people who immigrated follow all the laws, did everything they're supposed to do, came to the country legally, became citizens. And he was explaining, like, his mom was in the car and there were people who had crossed illegally and they stole all their stuff with them. I guess they were being led by coyotes and they were trying to break into the car that his mom was in, or the ranchers that live right there on the border that are terrified to go out at night to tend to their livestock. Because they're worried about crossing paths with cartels that are trespassing on their property to move human cargo or drug cargo. I think that would be a really, you know, have these kind of press conferences. They should have had, I wish Gonzalez would have had a little bit more foresight and had some of those people, you know, maybe brought Musk to talk to some of those people and had that incorporated that into a presser. And because all the press was down there for Musk, that would have been a great moment to do that. And you know what? That would go right into this whole funding battle. And then they could say, this is why we're opposing the continuation of this, you know, pushing forward with this CR, because there's nothing, there's no consideration in here for all of the stuff that we just explained. There's no consideration in any of this for the issues that we're dealing with at the border. There's no consideration for any of it. So we don't want to spend the billions. We don't want to borrow money to send to Ukraine when we need to be focusing on our responsibilities here domestically. Media would have hated that, but that would have been epic. They didn't do it. I wish they would have done that. This is what I'm talking about. There was only 29% of adults. This is a recent Economist poll. 29% of adults would blame Republicans in Congress for a shutdown. That's it. I think everyone gets a portion of it, but this idea that the media is floating with Democrats, that somehow this is all going to be Republicans, doesn't hold water. Government agencies are saying, oh, well, the federal workers are going to, they're going to have work stoppage. Okay, I don't care. I mean, you're talking about 12 appropriations bills that they have to get through before midnight Saturday night. If they don't get a CR, they got to get 12 appropriations bills passed. Republicans have to have a plan, though, because that's the thing that averted during the last fight over this. That was the thing that averted a lot of the blame being put on the GOP when it's not just the GOP. And in fact, really, with this, it's not the GOP. The pittance that is being proposed for the border, just to say that they spent something on the border when we're talking about sending hundreds of billions more to Ukraine. That's a big consideration. And that's where they need to force the negotiation. They need to force the negotiation at the border. I mean, you got 6,000. Well, now it's going to be up to 10,000. That's what they expect the encounters to be. As of right now, it's over 6,000 crossings of illegal immigrants coming through. Zero accountability. No way to track. There's no one's being given, you know, dates to go in front of immigration judges. None of that. It's not going to happen. But they're pushing this so bad. Remember the narrative I told you about the start of the week. They're trying to say, oh, your Social Security is going to be affected. This is going to be affected. If Democrats really felt that, then why didn't they put their stuff as standalone bills? Why do they have to tack it onto this and then threaten to tank the whole thing? That's the way it is. So tomorrow night, government shutdown. I don't think it's going to change. And I think it's going to shut down. But I do think that they have to have a plan. I think that that's what McCarthy needs to be focusing on. This is how they should be doing it. And they should be united. I need Gates and McCarthy and everyone else to get over the phallus measuring contest right now. Y'all need to be getting on the right page, on the same page. McCarthy needs to be going out there messaging about the plan that they have for this. And then you need to have all these other congressional members hitting the border, doing the press conferences, talking to the people who are affected, you know, talking to, you know, the ranchers, talking to the families, talking to the law enforcement that are there, that are, you know, completely overworked and overwhelmed, and they're not seeing any relief from the federal government at all whatsoever. That's what they need to be doing as McCarthy messages. Okay, here's our backup plan. This is what we're going to be doing. It's a 1-2 punch. That's how they should be approaching this. And if they're not doing that because everyone's so busy power jockeying, then they deserve to get their asses kicked.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
In that face. Okay, so after all this time, They made an arrest. This is like apparently just like hit today. They made an arrest in Vegas in Tupac Shakur's 1996 killing, his drive-by. They said that Vegas police arrested a guy in the deadly 96 drive-by shooting of Tupac Shakur, a long-awaited break in a case that's frustrated investigators and fascinated the public. Everyone was like, it's Suge. He was the one. I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories. They said that Dwayne Davis, a.k.a. Keffy D, was arrested early Friday morning, although the exact charges haven't been immediately made clear, according to people with firsthand knowledge of it. They said they weren't authorized to speak publicly ahead of an expected indictment later today. They said they've been that Davis has been known to investigators and apparently admitted, like, repeatedly in interviews and in a 2019 tell-all, like, kind of like Hunter. His tell-all was called Compton Street Legend, that he was in the Cadillac when the gunfire erupted during the drive-by. So he, like, was, like, singing like a bird about himself. He's got Hunter Biden syndrome. So they collected all kinds of computers. They raided his house. All kinds of computers, a cell phone, hard drive, all kinds of, they said tubs containing photographs, all kinds of stuff. So he's apparently legit been talking about this, apparently, since 2010. They said at the time he was 46 and facing life in prison on drug charges when he agreed to speak with the authorities. And he broke his silence in 2010 during this closed-door meeting with the feds. And he talked about this in his book. So he goes, they promised that they would shred the indictment and stop the grand jury if I helped them out. He says he's the one of the last living witnesses to it. Really? Man, I mean, people try to make money out of everything today and nowadays. We're going to talk about this more, but the typical American, according to CBS, cannot afford to buy a home in about 99% of U.S. counties in a new study, because Bidenomics and Democrats have made everybody broke. And some Republicans, too. Let's be real. Some of those also. Let's be honest about it. Let's see. This is a fascinating headline. Scientists are developing an implant that smaller than a crayon that doctors hope will cure cancer in 60 days. They said it would be implanted in the abdomen. It's smaller than a crayon. It could communicate with your smartphone. They call it a groundbreaking pill, and it's Rice University in Houston, and they actually hope it would cure cancer in just 60 days. It works as detection and, like, as a drug administration system. That's very interesting. Zuckerberg debuts new Meta glasses, and they look like it looks like dork nonsense, if I'm being honest about it. They say that, oh, these Meta glasses, they're supposed to be like Ray-Bans, but they look like big, gaudy Ray-Bans, like with the big, giant, thick arms. I mean, they are like Ray-Bans with Metas, but they're like not the Wayfarers. I mean, like, they have like the big, thick sides. It looks like they're super heavy and uncomfortable, right? Doesn't it? But they do look better than the Google Glass, which is like the dorkiest thing I've ever seen in my life. iPhone 15 Pro owners, I'm really getting upset about this. By the way, don't have people pre-order this stupid phone and then make it available in the store and make the people who pre-ordered it still have to wait. Everyone's saying that they're overheating, that there's overheating problems because of engineering. I'm done. Done with it. We got a lot more on the way. Trump on Wales coming up.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour. So, I have to, because this is one of the funniest sound bites of the week, and it's about nature. It's about nature, guys. Nature. So apparently, South Carolina has wind turbines in the ocean. It's a serious issue, but it's just still funny. Because think about it. It's like wind turbines in the oceans. You know, nature's blenders. It's the ocean's blender. Okay. It is. It's just scrambling up all your whales and dolphins, you know. Julia. Why are you laughing? It's still... Can I just say windmills are the stupidest damn thing I've ever... They are so stupid. If I was an alien, I'd want to blow up our planet because I'd be like, look at these stupid people putting up these stupid... And they're not like the rounded ones either. Like the cute ones that you see over in like the Netherlands and stuff with the tulips. They're giant space knives. That's what they're a bunch of damn knives, and we just spin them around. That's what we, and then we're like, damn, it's killing the eagles and everything. Shocking. Like, what did you think was going to happen? Anyway, what time did I send this last night? Hell, I don't even know. It was, what time did I? Oh.
Too terribly late.
Oh, no, it wasn't at all. What am I thinking of? Oh, no, wait, that is late. No, I'm looking and trying to remember when I did this. Okay, so, and it wasn't too bad. So Trump was speaking, where was he at? Was he in South Carolina? Yeah, he was in Somerville. And he was talking about, like, you know, the windmills and stuff. And whales. And I just about died because I was listening to it. And my first, it just was funny because I'm like, he needs to host a Nat Geo series. Listen to this. This is too funny.
But you have a better chance of being struck by lightning than hitting a whale with your boat. There has only been, listen to this, one such whale killed off the coast of South Carolina in the last 50 years. But on the other hand, their windmills are causing whales to die in numbers never seen before. Nobody does anything about that. They're washing up ashore. I saw it this weekend. Three of them came up. You wouldn't see it once a year. Now they're coming up on a weekly basis. The windmills are driving them crazy. They're driving the whales, I think, a little batty.
Batty whales. Like Kong bat or regular bat? Like I'm just like that soundbite from Joe Biden or regular bat? Whack bat. So what gets me, those people were cheering at one point. And I know people like to applaud. And it's like, no, don't applaud the whales getting scrambled out of the ocean. Don't do that. Stop. But have you seen those windmills off the... I was Googling it. You can Google South Carolina, and then you can do South Carolina coast, and I think I did windmills. And it's the offshore wind energy. They're giant damn knives. It's like you put some giant knives out in the sky. And I mean, it looks like, I mean, you got a bunch of damn Ginzu knives out squirreling around in the sky. It's chopping up all our birds. I'm kidding. But it's a serious issue, actually. I don't want to make light of it. It's actually a serious issue. And they're ugly. It's so bad. Remember, was it Teddy Kennedy? When they were talking about doing offshore wind development near their compound, and Teddy Kennedy was like, we're not having any of that. You know, the big green guy left a woman to die in a pond. They actually fought that. They fought the development. So the wind farms, I like how they call it a wind farm. But that's what they have it all out. It just is goofy looking, especially when we have, again, renewable energy. We have fossil fuels. That's renewable energy. These just look dumb. They look dumb. I think that it's a blight upon the earth. And again, they look like giant Ginzu knives out there. But they apparently, what is it? They're over 1,000 feet. They have some that it's like taller than the tallest building in North Carolina. The turbines that they were trying to plan for that were going to be off Kitty Hawk, I think it was bigger than like the Bank of America Corporate Center in Charlotte. They were taller than that. They were taller than the turbines that they were planning off of the Brunswick County beaches, which is taller than the PNC in Raleigh. They're huge. They're goofy looking. It's like Attack on Titan stuff, isn't it? That's what I think of. It is. By the way, Kane, sidebar. Do you think that's how tall they are? Like if it was real life?
How tall the Attack
the
on
Titans
Titan?
Are?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would it be like the tall, like the height of a wind turbine?
1,000 feet?
Yeah. 1,042.
Pretty damn close.
I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering. That's just funny. But I mean, it is a serious issue. I mean, they had what? They're driving the whales a little batty is actually hysterical, though. That is funny. But then you have the people like, actually, the wind industry, they're the ones who are like, Michael Schellenberger had an interesting piece on this. He was like, they're saying that they're not actually killing whales, but they are. And then new boat traffic is colliding with whales. And then they have the high decibel sonar that is separating the calves from the whale mothers, and it sends them into harm's way. There's like a whole documentary out about this. That's all about, you know, all this stuff going on in the North Atlantic and the problem that they're having with whales out there because of all this. It sounds goofy and you want to laugh your head off about it but it's true. All of it's true. I mean, that's, you know, what that's it. So in addition to our whales getting murked, everybody's broke. Check this out, CBS. Homes are unaffordable in 99% of the nation for the average American. The typical average American cannot afford to buy a home in a growing number of communities across the country, according to Common Lending Standards. It's the main takeaway. It's a new report from a real estate data provider. They were looking at the median home prices for about 575 U.S. counties, and they found that home prices in 99% of those areas are beyond the reach of the average income earner. And they said that's insane. And they said that there's a couple of trends, the mortgage rates topping 7%. So you're looking at, you know, hundreds of dollars a month added to that. Plus, like, don't forget, I'm too lazy to look at my notes. I think it's what, almost 7,000 annually that we're looking at the average cost that's been added
to a family?
To a family because of inflation.
It's closer to 9,000, actually. It's 700 and something a month.
This has been real fun talking to our accountant about all this stuff. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's like 8,500, 8,600.
Yeah. So, and then the people who are locked into lower mortgage rates during the pandemic, they don't, I mean, obviously they don't want to sell because they're, you know, terrified because the property is so elevated at this point. They don't want to sell. So it's, so there's like a, you know, the amount of homes for sale obviously has been depleted. So they said that the only people who are selling right now are people who've got to divorce, marriage, moving for a new job. So the fact that you don't have that kind of inventory is keeping prices super high as well. So they had, this has doubled since I was in my early 20s. As of August, the national median existing home price was $407,000. That is insane to me. $407,000. That's almost a 4% increase from a year ago. That's the National Association of Realtors. The average interest rate on a 30-year home loan was 7.19%. That's up from 6.48 at the beginning of the year. That's Freddie Mac. As the mortgage rates rise, this unaffordability factor is going to be maintained. This is crazy. So the inventory coupled with the inflation, I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, it is the new real estate bubble. And this is, and go ahead and say this on my, you don't just,
well, it is. I mean, the Fed rate is what's caused the cost of money to skyrocket.
Yes.
in the housing market.
Yes.
So no one in a decent interest rate will ever want to sell their home until the rates come back down. And with all this government spending, there's no chance that we're going to get inflation under control, which means there's no chance the Fed will be able to lower the rate, which they planned on doing by 2025. So, yeah, you're right. It's a bubble that's going to have to burst.
Now, as you said, because of government spending. Kane, give me an example of some crazy government spending.
You mean like Ukraine?
Ah. And tell me once again, what is being pushed as a part of the CR that Republicans are rejecting?
Oh, yeah. Money for Ukraine.
Massive amounts of money. Cash money. Massive amounts of it. So now you get it. Now you see why. It's not just, you know, opposing this CR. It's not just, oh, well, we don't want, we just only want this for the border. There's a ton of stuff wrapped up into this, like this story. You see how this all affects, how it's all related. And obviously, first-time home buyers, those are the ones that get hit the most with interest rates. They're most sensitive with these interest rates. So many of them had to postpone. So they said that unaffordability is rated apparently by the percentage that somebody has to spend of their income towards paying for a home. And so if it's more than 28%, they classify that as being unaffordable. And then when you factor in the mortgage, the homeowner's insurance or property taxes, you know, I'm not even putting maintenance and just regular stuff into that. They said that the typical home price today is like over 35% of somebody's wages. And yeah, if you're in if you got an adjustable rate mortgage, you're getting slammed. I mean, this is, oh, and the most unaffordable? Huh. Crazy. These, interesting. Los Angeles, Chicago, San Diego, all these big, giant Democrat cities. I'm just saying. And it's going to get worse. It's enraging because for the majority of people, that is how they start building wealth. It's property. You buy a home, you build your equity, you sell, you know, you get, you know, and a lot of people, that's how they start building their family's wealth. And by destroying that, you are removing the foundational block for American families to be able to start that wealth creation and start, you know, that foundation for their family. It's un-American. It's to me, I think it's un-American that you have to have two incomes just to even pay for a family anymore. Everything has gotten so out of control. So I don't want to hear it from the media. I don't want to hear it from the government, from these Democrats who are like, oh, we got to pass the CR. Get bent. We don't got to do nothing. I hope the whole damn government shuts down. And I hope it hurts. I hope people realize what's happening. This is what Republicans need to be going out messaging over. Look at it. You got 99% of the country that can't buy a home because it's considered unaffordable. They can't afford it. This is why. This type of stuff, this spending in this CR is why. You want to make it worse? Pass the CR. They need to be out there doing this, messaging this, instead of fighting over and having basically using this as a proxy war for the House speakership. So ridiculous.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so a couple of things we're having. I would like to. Today is like the day of having like major, crazy difficulties with tech. So forgive me here. I'm trying to do everything I can. Let's see the couple of things. There, we had this. I'm trying to pull a couple of things up here. I may have to have you pull it up, King. Actually, I'm having such a hard time here with everything. Oh, here, we got this. All right. Florida man accused a cyclist of being with the CIA, tried headbutting police, told officers to take him to jail. Well, he is a cyclist, you know, so, you know, what do you expect? No, the Jupiter, Florida 2911 calls were placed Tuesday night regarding a hit and run. A car doing donuts in a parking lot and a man whose bike was run over by a reckless driver. The driver, 31-year-old Jesse Martinez, was found by authorities on the side of the South Coastal Highway in his SUV. He smelled like a liquor bottle, according to the arrest report. And before the police could take him into custody, they dealt with kicking, headbutting, a violent threat making, and a peculiar witness statement. So he's a 34-year-old bicyclist, Blaise Steinbach. They said prior to that, they contacted this guy who said he was nearly run over. But yeah, they when they got there, he accused his victim of working with the CIA. And that's why apparently he had targeted him. So Martinez allegedly ran down Steinbach, causing him to leap out of the way, leave his bicycle to be hit. And then when they finished taking the bicyclist statement, it was the driver's turn. He had DUI investigation. He failed every test. He couldn't touch heel to toe on any step. And so they ended up taking him to jail. So he's got 7 charges, a whole bunch of charges. I mean, these people are, I don't know. Oh my gosh, check this out. Florida. It's an Alabama school bus, but it's a Florida man. He impersonates a student to ride with a 15-year-old girl. Florida man's under arrest because he got on a school bus to impersonate himself as a student, or to impersonate himself as a student to ride with a 15-year-old girl. Police on Wednesday were dispatched to Enterprise High School after a teacher discovered the 23-year-old dude from Pompano on the bus. Dennis Wimberly, 23 years old, was immediately taken into custody on a charge of criminal trespass. They learned that he arranged to meet the 15-year-old, got on the bus. She assisted him in getting him on the bus, they had transmitted obscene material via cell phone. So he's charged with second-degree rape, unlawful possession of drug paraphernalia. He was booked into Coffee County Jail, where he remains held without bond. Man, that dude's going to have a record forever. And also, this guy was arrested for, it was a possession of a threatened tortoise. Edric Akers, 53, of Eustis, Florida, was charged for the possession of the threatened gopher tortoise, which poor little baby had to live in a 5-gallon bucket. So he was arrested, taken into custody, gosh, for a turtle. All right, stick with us. Third hour on the way.
We have been welcoming. We have been gracious. We have been supportive. But we have to point out the fact and make sure that people coming across the border who think there are plentiful hotel rooms and services in New York City, we hit our capacity. So we're asking other areas to embrace these individuals, but we're not going to compromise who we are as a state with the Statue of Liberty in our harbor. So that's what I want to be clear about. That's important. We'll retain that, but we just need a slowing right now to help us manage the people who've already come and let people know it's not the way it was a year ago. We're at-
I don't care. You either are for sanctuary or you're not, you racist bigot. Why are you such a Klan member, Kathy Hochul? I mean, that's what I was told, Kane. We were all told this. Welcome back to the program, top of the third hour. She's saying, we're not going to compromise who we are as a state with the Statue of Liberty in our harbor, but we are at capacity. Nope. No, you don't be a bigot. Don't be a bigot. Why is she such a bigot? Dems de rules, Kane. That's right. Dems de rules. You can listen to the radio program, Coast to Coast. Stream it. Watch simulcast. YouTube, Facebook, channel 347. And she's, we were told that the inscription on the Statue of Liberty was like literal law. It wasn't the French who gave us that inscription, quoting a socialist poet. It was the third tablet that came down with Moses from Mount Sinai, and they put it up on the Statue of Liberty. Did you know that? Remember that Bible lesson? No, it was a whole tablet by itself because it was like that was too long of an inscription to fit like at the bottom. Like, oh, bonus commandment, right? There's no, actually kind of was, but it was a whole tablet by itself. Third tablet. It was the bonus commandment. That's how they treat it. I remember that. You remember it? Gosh, we were, what if, like, Kane, you've been called a racist. You're half Mexican. But, you know, because you believe in lawful immigration, you're white adjacent and a racist.
And those who have legally immigrated here feel the same way. So are they also racist?
Yeah, they're all white adjacent racists. Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's a trick question. Like, what if you're Venezuelan and you believe in lawful immigration to Venezuela? Nobody wants to go to Venezuela, but you know what I mean? How does that work? I'm curious. Lots of questions here. So Kathy Hochul is telling everyone, yeah, you know, forget what that I'm there. They're going to put a they if it didn't look like a member of the activist wing of the Democrat Party, they would throw a big giant sheet over the Statue of Liberty and hide it. No, don't look at this yet. Just don't look at this for a little bit. We need a break. We need a how did she put it? We need a pause. How did she put it?
A slowdown.
Yeah. Where do you think the slowdown happens? Where does the slowdown happen? Does the slowdown happen sending them to New York, or would the slowdown happen to the crossing at the border? Because my response to Governor Hochul is that the slowdown that would take place at the border, and so far there has been no cooperation from the federal government to that effect. So as of such, there will be no slowdown. Here's another bus. There's not going to be a slowdown. There's no slowdown for you, ever. No, bus, send everybody up there, because it's a sanctuary. I mean, look at all the stuff in New York, Kane. You got Times Square. You got all the restaurants, you got the theater, right? You got all the parks, Central Park, got Battery Park, you got all the parks. What else? You got all kinds of fun stuff up there, right? I mean, pretzels. Yeah. Go up there. Yeah, just go over there. There you go. Just send them up to New York and send them up to, and then you go upstate. I don't want to include upstate because those upstate folks vote Republican pretty reliably. So, you know, let's maybe, that's just tell them it's Canada. They can't go to Canada. But yeah, Manhattan, just put everybody in Manhattan. Sanctuary state. That's what you want to, I mean, you have these states that went so far as to not actually even cooperate with ICE when it came time to deport violent criminals, and they wouldn't even let ICE know when they would release other criminals. So, I'm just saying. It sounds, you don't get a slowdown. If people in Del Rio don't get a slowdown, Eagle Pass, if they don't get a slowdown at Eagle Pass, they don't get a slowdown in McAllen, if they don't get a slowdown in Brownsville, if they don't get a slowdown anywhere else, guess what? You don't get your slowdown. Because you're a sanctuary city. You've been saying that for how long? They've had all this time to do sanctuary activities, Kane, to prepare for this for sanctuarying. Yep. So just I'm just wondering. All right, audio soundbite 6. AOC needs a dictionary. She's opining on the impending shutdown that's going to take place tomorrow. Listen.
And so they are literally, the Republican Party is literally biting the hands that feed them here in the United States Capitol by playing games with a looming government shutdown. Literally. And ironically, many of the members that were wasting time in that impeachment hearing today are the same members that are holding up the votes necessary for us to pass a clean resolution to fund the government while folks settle out there.
Literally, they're literally biting the hand that feeds them. Literally. Like, I watched Kevin McCarthy gnawing on someone's fingers, gnawing them to little stumps. Literally. They're literally biting the hand that feeds them. Literally. What are you talking about? I love how people use literally as an emphasis without knowing that you actually, that you're not speaking metaphorically. You're saying that they're actually biting people. What is it? Who is she talking about? What do you mean biting the hand that feeds them? About the shutdown. I don't even understand what she's saying. I feel like she was like, wow, I literally have to say words here. Words to fill this airtime literally for this news hit. Words. What was her point, Kane?
I don't really know. I guess because government pays politicians.
Why don't you literally go make a drink?
And they're shutting down the government?
Literally.
Like, I have no idea.
They're literally biting the hand that feeds them. Literally. Yeah, I know. I mean, did you see it? They were just munching on people like zombies. I don't know.
Those hands that were bitten.
Show me them hands. If they would have asked her that, I want to know what... I'm just fascinated as to what her response... Okay, Congresswoman, you said they were literally biting the hand that feeds them. Has there been any kind of complaint filed for this? Has there been? Because she would have. What are you talking about? You said literally, Congresswoman. I'm just because that's a serious accusation, very serious accusation. Is there a complaint that's been made? Because I feel that people should know about this ahead of the government shutdown. If they're just literally chewing on people. Instead of doing their jobs in D.C., that's something the taxpayers need to know. Democrats are all bread and circuses. It's all they are. It's all they are. Oh, man. So then you have Ken Buck. This is all shutdown stuff. Oh, this is so fun. So Ken Buck is the representing, what is he at? He's in the House. Colorado's 4th Congressional District. He's the chair of the Republican Party. He had this to say. This is audio soundbite 8. Listen to this.
It concerns me about House Republicans' priorities. It also concerns me about the public perception of our party being able to run the U.S. House. I think that there is nothing worse than a shutdown. I think this is embarrassment. We knew that September 30th was coming for a long time. We should have been talking in July about a continuing resolution. It doesn't have to be done on the eve of a shutdown.
I'm going to need more Black Rifle coffee in this to deal with that. Ken Buck says nothing worse than a shutdown. I think, Ken, that there is. He's embarrassed. He's embarrassed because his party would like some fiscal responsibility. He's embarrassed because 99% of the country I mean, you saw the, we went over this headline. I just had this headline. He's embarrassed because homes are unaffordable in 99% of the nation for the average American due to government spending out of control, interest rates rising, no one's wages keeping up with the price increases of anything. And he's thinks it's embarrassing to try to put a stop to additional government spending, the borrowing of money to spend and on a foreign land dispute when we can't even handle our stuff at home. And Ken Buck thinks that standing for fiscal responsibility is embarrassing. I think Ken Buck's inability to do basic math is embarrassing. I think Ken Buck running around treating the American taxpayer like they're the parent and he's some entitled vineyard vines wearing brat, that I find to be embarrassing. With Republicans like that, who the hell needs Democrats? Jeez. I'm so tired of these people. Oh, I'm so scared. I don't know what I'm going to go on CNN and talk smack about my own party. I'm Ken Buck. Dang. Goes on CNN and does that. It's Kevin McCarthy needs to be slapping these people. Slap it. He's literally chewing on their hands right now. He's too busy. Literally. I mean, honestly, aside from not using words whose meanings he doesn't know, how does he sound any different from AOC?
He doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't sound any different. He sounds just like she does. All right, so we got coming up, we got the impeachment inquiry. Got some audio for that. Also featuring Secretary Mayer, former admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimitonka. Poot Booty Juice. We're going to have that for you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So dads homeschooling their children, that's a trend that's surging. I hate when people are like, oh, dads are ditching gender roles and homeschooling. Shut up. No, they're not. Anyone who's ever known anything about homeschooling knows that it has nothing to do with gender roles. There are certain things that dads are just like a lot better at teaching kids about, especially if it has to do with any kind of like, you know, mechanics, shop, anything like that. And also they're their kids. They can just be dads without you being obsessing over gender roles Newsweek. I just want to just shut up. I'm so tired of this stuff. Homeschooling is surging. That's how this headline should be presented. Homeschooling is surging. Period. The end. Because parents are choosing to do this. Cops visited Britney Spears for a welfare check. I have to say, she danced with knives and apparently she put something else up and then put, don't call the cops, I'm just having fun or something. I think she's not dive, man. She danced with knives again. My favorite part about the video of her dancing with knives is the dogs. The little, what are those little cotton balls with eyes that she's got on the floor? Her little dogs, they like ran away. We all are her dogs. I feel like her dogs feel whenever I look at DC. That's exactly. But there was this, the internet has done what the internet has done. Somebody wore a Michael Myers costume and they set the theme to Halloween and they did the exact same moves that Britney Spears did. Did you see that? It's amazing. I love the internet. A Popeye's employee is accused of selling drugs while at work, and he shot a customer trying to rob him. Oh, what? So this employee was fired after he was being accused of selling drugs and shooting at a person who came to buy drugs while he was on the clock at Popeye's. It's Harris County, Texas. He was arrested because he was selling dope at Popeye's. And deputies say the employee, Yadiel Gonzalez, was selling marijuana while on the clock. And then, but he apparently was like, I only do it when I'm working. What? It's not going to be. Shut up. So anyway, they don't know if the guy was actually, if the person towards whom he shot was actually shot. Deputies said he ran off, but they arrested him. Popeye's corporate released a statement, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they don't tolerate that kind of stuff. I've got a lot of jokes here. A trucker was ticketed after he wedged a helicopter beneath an I-12 overpass in Denham Springs. It literally, you know, you're there. Why? Photographs show the helicopter on top of a towing trailer, wedged literally underneath an overpass. The craft's rotor, there was no way that was going to make it. And it hit the concrete support beam on the underside of the bridge. And it's only, the bridge passes 15 feet above the roadway. the signage has all of the technical specifications. Like, if you go this way, you can't go back. The specifications for the chopper indicate the body's 15 and a half feet tall. What in the world? So I get why he was ticketed. The cargo was being transported from Georgia to Lafayette, and officials have not released details on entirely. It looks like they said Sikorsky S-92, fresh off the production line. So about $30 million. $30 million helicopter. Yeah, not a big deal. That's, you know. And I didn't get to, this one's really worth it. This guy's mugshot's everything. He was charged with reporting a fake bear attack trying to get out of the Kanawha woods in West Virginia. He got lost and apparently couldn't leave the woods, so he claimed a bear attack and somebody came and got him. He got in trouble for a falsely reported emergency incident. Stick with us.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Devastating. 30% cuts. You heard me. 30% cuts. And listen to what that means. It would eliminate 12,000 FBI agents, almost 1,000 ATF agents, and more than 500 local law enforcement.
Wow, happy birthday to me, man. Wait, is that supposed to be a bad thing? She's saying that like it's a bad thing that this is the White House budget director. Oh, the Republicans' bill, you know, because we don't want to pay for Ukraine somehow means that that's also going to eliminate 12,000 FBI agents and 1,000 ATF agents. Oh, okay. Don't threaten me with a good time, lady. And welcome back to the program, bottom of the third hour. How is this bad, Kane? I'm just curious.
I fail to see it.
A lot of dogs are going to be happy. You know, you get the joke? That's all right. A lot of parents that are at school board meetings are going to be happy. Yep. Yeah, look at that, because they're not going to be unfairly targeted. I'm just trying to figure out how this is a bad thing. It's not. It's the thing. It's not. It's not at all. Oh, boy. So, I got a couple of weird headlines that are... So, in addition to this, because we've got the government shutdown that's going to be tomorrow. Yeah. I'm so excited about this. Is anybody mad about this? Genuinely, I don't think anyone actually is. I think everyone's like, they pretty much we understand really ultimately where the whole problem is with this. It's the insistence of spending. Oh, also apparently involved in this, I'm going to pull this up. Lorraine found this. Republican representatives led by Chip Roy, they want to reduce Alejandro Mayorkas's salary to $1. Because of the border crisis. Oh, I'm all for that. I didn't even think it should be a dollar. But I'll agree to a dollar, which I still think is too high because I don't think he's qualified and I don't think he's doing his job. They want to include an amendment in the Homeland Security Appropriations Bill because remember, if they don't pass the CR, what did I say? It was like 12 or 13 appropriations bills that they got to get through before midnight then instead. So they said that they want to use the Holman Rule, which allows lawmakers. I love the Holman Rule. Yes. It allows lawmakers to cut the salaries of federal officials. And they were looking at the southern border and they're like, he's not doing the job. So let's reduce his salary to a dollar. Yeah. I mean, look at the border. Look at the border and tell me he's doing his job. You know, for a Democrat to look at the border and say, yeah, it's totally because who was it? There was some lawmaker that was on MSNBC who was saying, yeah, it's totally fine. The border's totally secure. Like literally just 2 days ago. How do you look at what's happening there and then you tell yourself that and you tell the public that with a straight face? Yeah, the world's the sky is purple. Yeah, totally is. The world's flat and the sky's purple. You're lying to this is why people have no faith in. I mean, there's not enthusiasm in Democrat policies and there's not a lot of faith in government. Period. So they say the American people have no obligation to keep paying a federal official who won't do his job. I agree. Cut his salary. Cut it to a dollar. That sounds good. This is one of my favorite proposals so far. Yeah. Oh, I love this. This eliminating the... Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. This is amazing. I mean, you know, we could get rid of the ATF altogether, but I'm totally fine with starting with the 12,000 doing that. But this reducing the pay to a dollar. We... Kane, last week, what was the record encounters? The encounters were, I want to say it was 9,400 encounters per day last week.
Yes.
Now we're nearing 11,000.
Yes.
For this week.
Yes.
So in the span of a week, we've gone from like 9,400 to 11,000.
One record to another.
In 1 week.
Yep.
Why is he not in jail, I think, is the bigger question. Jeez.
It's intentional.
Well, of course it's intentional. This is insanity. Insanity. So a couple of other things I wanted to get into here. I saw this. I have some serious thoughts on this. So the Associated Press says the Navy is going to start randomly testing special operations troops for steroids. The first such program in the U.S. military. Okay, I am made of so many simultaneous comments all firing off in my head at the exact same time. There seems to be a little bit of inconsistency here. So where do I start it? Where do I start? My first thought is I want my spec ops juiced to the absolute heavens, number one. Number two, you're going to be upset if spec ops are using steroids, but you're not going to be upset if someone wants to chop off their schlong a la Dresden Dolls sex change song and become like have a gender reassignment. Surgery. Hasn't it always kind of been? Well, I mean, it's always been known when you go into special disciplines within armed services, there's certain things that happen. In order for our soldiers to be super effective at their particular missions, and they know it, we know it. That goes with the territory. Now we're gonna what? Wait a minute. I mean, if you are a dude and you want to be a chick, that's okay. But heaven forbid you be on steroids.
Right.
What?
Like a
giga chad. Yeah. Like what? What in the world? What?
Our military can be weakened, but we can't have giga chads. I don't get it.
It's ma'am. Wait, why am I doing that? Because I have it here. Wait a minute. Hold up.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you know. So, just saying. So that's, they're going to start doing this. They've already made the decision to start it, according to AP. So they're going to start randomly testing spec ops for steroids. First time this has ever happened. I can't say that. What I was just going to say. Kane, go ahead. What were you going to say?
If you can finish probably that say sentence, that on air. What if you finish the sentence? We're going to start testing for steroids to make sure they're on steroids. Like then I'd be okay with it. Then I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because I want them on steroids. I want those guys to be the most jacked giga chads out there.
Yeah. Because that's what I want.
So if you're testing for steroids to make sure they're taking steroids, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, if you're testing to like to make sure they're on them, I want that.
Yes.
I would like that. But so spec ops can't use steroids, but trainees can taxpayers can fund trainees sex change surgery? Well, wait a minute. What if you need to be on steroids because you're a chick who wants to ID as a dude? Is that a thing that they do? Is that one of the things that they take to be like dudes?
It is steroids, but
well, I don't know. Like, what if they want to, you know, get jacked or something? I don't know. Like, how that works?
I don't know.
I mean, we don't know enough about hormones, period. So I know about as much as they know already about long-term abuse of hormones for the human body. So we're equal there, and that's true. There's no long-term studies. Fight me. That's so we're equal with that knowledge base. I mean, I I want them to be on all the roids. Give them all the tea. Give them all the roids. Give them everything. Like you said, Giga Chads. Here's a story. When my grandfather was in World War II, he was on USS Alabama. I have no idea how he was on the USS Alabama. And here's why I say this. Dude was like 6'3". Okay? My grandpa was a Giga Chad. He was not fat. We have like a crazy metabolism in our family. My grandfather was shredded wheat till the day he died. He was a rancher, though. Like, he had, you know, was fit. Dude was washboard. He was just like shredded all the way up until he passed. Like, we were, it's how he was. That was life. And when he was in the Navy, and the reason I say I don't know how he was on this ship, because were they asleep? I don't know how he slept there. Their bunks were like wee little bitty. I don't know how any of these dudes slept there. I mean, maybe if you were like a toddler, you could fit, but I don't know how it happened. Anyway, long story short, we found out after he was in the VA, because he was exposed to a ton of radiation. Apparently, I guess they were like within fallout range after the bomb was dropped. When he went in, because he had like apparently this wild, slow growing cancer. It was like the slowest growing cancer apparently that they had seen. They wrote papers on what he had, and apparently it was him and some other veterans. And they discovered that he had been exposed to a ton of radiation, right? So he's in, you know, the VA, and we're hearing all these stories for the first time because that generation just never talked about it, right? I mean, my gosh, you wouldn't even know some of them were in the war unless they wore a hat. They just didn't talk about it. And when he was in the hospital, you know, my mom and her siblings had to ask, Dad, what happened? Because why were you exposed to so much radiation? This is crazy. And that's when he was telling them about what he saw during the war. And then it came out, he was on the USS Missouri when they signed the treaty with Japan. And we thought, well, how did that happen? And he was like, oh, maybe it's because I was from Missouri. And we're like, no, that doesn't sound right. Well, as it turns out, we figured out why. So I love the PSYOPs. I love how they thought. They picked tall Giga Chads to stand on the route where the emperor and the Japanese delegation walked. The tallest guys in the Navy, they picked to stand there so they'd look like giants when the Japanese came to surrender. My grandpa was 6'3". Go figure. That's why he was on the USS Missouri, because he was huge. He's a Giga Chad, tall and lean, a mean machine. And I want that for our military. I want them to be able to be total Giga Chads, right? So I don't see why this is, I don't get this. Why is there, oh my gosh, we can't have spec ops cheating to go after terrorists. Oh, heavens no. Are you taking performance-enhancing ass-kicking drugs? We just need to find out about this. We can't have, it wouldn't be PEDs. What would you call that? Piacidids. Are you guys cheating to kill the bad guys? We need to find out. Really?
This isn't Major League Baseball.
No, I know.
The NFL.
I want you to be cheating. Who was it that said war is cheating? Who wins the war? War is cheating. Who was it that said that? I need to know that. Hang on. We're not going anywhere until I figure it out. It's Friday. What is it that I swear this was like I literally just read something about this. Anyone who says you don't cheat. No, if you're not cheating, then you're not really fighting. Right. I don't want to hear it. So you know what it was in? Lioness, Taylor Sheridan series. So apparently it wasn't like a total, but you get what I'm saying. I don't understand why this is the thing. This bothers me so bad.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I think this one was a bit of a surprise to me, given I think what the conventional wisdom is. So there have been a number of polls on this. So who would you mainly blame for a government shutdown? Actually, the plurality blame Joe Biden and the Democrats in Congress at 39%, the GOP in Congress at 33%, both equally at 22%. But in the two polls that I have seen, when you combine Biden and the congressional Democrats, more voters blame them than blame Republicans in Congress. And that,
oh man, that's CNN. You know that hurt them. You know that had to hurt. You know they didn't want to. They didn't want to be telling y'all that. You know that one had to be tricky. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. Oh my gosh, like the people. So the people who are going on. So we had this. I got to tell you this. So we had the story of where I just lost. Here it is. Of AP, the Navy's going to start randomly testing spec op troops for steroids. First such program. And Kane and I were like, we to make sure they're on them, right? Because that's what we want. We want, like, you know, we want an army of giga chads to go out there and just, and the internet is delivering right now with the responses on this. It really is. Like, you guys are doing your thing. You guys are, yeah. It's, yeah, they probably give them puberty blockers. Let's see. Somebody made a good point. Like, so if a woman takes testosterone, that kind of has, like, doesn't that have a similar impact as a dude taking a steroid in a way?
Possibly. I don't know.
Someone's like, how's that going to work with the trans men taking the testosterone? How's that going to? Oh, man. I don't know, guys. This is it's Friday. We made it to Friday. The government could shut down tomorrow. By the way, if it does that, I'll have either something up on Facebook or in the newsletter. We'll send something out to you and get that out. So make sure you go sign up. It's over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. The link is in all my social media profiles. You can access it there as well. All right, today in stupidity.
Well, we just heard CNN talk about who's being blamed for the shutdown. Does not matter, though. Karine Jean-Pierre has her talking points. Uh-oh. Listen to this.
Meeting with anybody in person this weekend?
I don't have any meetings or to read out as it relates to Congress. But what I can say, this is something, and we've said it over and over again, and it needs to be repeated. This is something that Congress can fix.
Okay, Congress can fix it, but you're getting blamed.
Mm.
So get to the table.
Yeah. Get to the, have a backup plan. You need a backup plan, folks. That does it for us this week. I'll be back behind the mic with you on Monday.